welcome to Wednesday's edition of Main Street here on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. We are pleased that you are with us today. Coming up in just a bit, our newest edition of Prairie Plates, Luna Market cheesemonger Sage Bomback will join the show to talk about the booming popularity of tinned fish, the art of pairing bold flavors, and how Fargo's food scene, from charcuterie to cheese raves, is turning everyday eating into a creative, community-driven experience. And just a quick programming note, we normally air our news podcast, Prairie Beat, on Wednesdays. This week, it will air tomorrow, but it's available at our website at prairiepublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll begin Main Street today with a preview of a show that's been running now for 18 seasons on Prairie Public. That's Prairie Musicians. This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein, and we at Prairie Public are incredibly proud of our award-winning television production team. Not only have they made a timeless collection of often moving documentaries, there's also a regular series going on now for nearly two decades that has showcased some of the amazing musical talent North Dakota and Minnesota have to offer. Program manager Eric Dethridge talks with Prairie Public Director of Television Barb Gravel about another season of Prairie Musicians.
Prairie Musicians, we are in our 18th season, believe it or not. Wow. Prairie Musicians is a showcasing of regional musicians and bands and talent from around our region, and it's original music that the bands need to play, and it's kind of a live performance. If you were sitting in our studio or in a club or a bar or a coffee shop listening to them, that's what they would sound like.
So once you select the bands, Barb, and you do get them in studio on that day in recording, what are the challenges for both the artists, the bands, and your production team as far as making them look and sound good? Because that's the name of the game with the finished product, right?
Yes. Well, of course, they always look good, and of course, they sound good, but bringing in that technical aspect is so much fun. Of course, we work with Livewire, and they do a fabulous job with the sound, and so I can really depend on them and not worry too much about that. And as far as video, our team here, led by Andy Garski as the production manager, does a fabulous job. We have just the best camera work, and that's so much fun. We really have that down to a science after 18 years almost. So we take about 2 weeks to light and set the studio, and we schedule the bands within about a two-week period, and they all have the opportunity to come to our studio in Fargo and record. The set in total takes about 4 to 5 hours to record. Usually a bigger band with the setup of drums and that sort of thing takes a little bit longer, and a solo act might take a little bit less. We record all the music, the interview, the promos. We take still photos. We really have a great day. And by the time they're leaving, we're literally hugging the band members and their parents or the managers. We're like, we're best friends now.
We are talking to Prairie Public Director of Television Barb Gravel about a new season of Prairie Musicians, which premieres tomorrow night at 9 Central 8 Mountain on the television service of Prairie Public. So Barb, speaking of making people look good, they already look good when they come in. These cats were our first artist. They look like they were plucked out of the set of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right? Lots of overalls, long hair, and beards. Tell us about the leadoff band, Mooncats.
Oh my goodness, the Mooncats are so much fun. This is a trio of talented musicians who like to call their music Americonscious campfire folk music.
Love that. Love that. Sounds so authentic.
And we've got in the band Slinger, we've got Danny, and we've got Sky. This band plays festivals. They travel all over the region, different states, Montana, South Dakota. And we've got kind of American roots instruments, banjo, mandolin, washboard, banjolele. How about that?
It's a banjolele. It's like a hybrid of something, right?
It's a banjo and a ukulele kind of put together. It's like a baby banjo. It's so much fun. And of course, that washboard has a little cymbal on it. And of course, we've got all these little bits and bobbles. So that is a fun thing to watch Danny play on. And the guitar, oh my gosh, the intricacy and the advanced guitar work that they have is just so much fun. So they are storytellers. And, you know, most of the musicians this season have really defined themselves as storytellers. And I love that.
Well, you can't be called Mooncats and not have a feline mascot, right?
So I know.
Here we go. Let's hear a little bit of Mooncats. Let's hear a song.
Stop the week, one thing in mind. Yeah, my dopamine been done deprived. A few yesterdays of feeling so fine got me mixed up and wondering why. I get 5 days, I only get two. Kinda messed up the strange brew. More time for things I really like you could pay me to ride my bike. Out on a weekend, out on a weekend.
I would say something unique about the Mooncats that I don't see in very many other bands is, though we do follow the old-time music tradition and have bluegrass influence, I feel like our sound is very authentically ours, and we're not trying to keep our sound in a certain box.
The group is from Pick City.
Where is Pick City, North Dakota? Where is that?
Pick City is up by Lake Sakakawea.
Oh, okay, so they're in the sort of western part of
it. Yeah, this is a great band. You'll see Sky in his stand-up bass has a little stuffed animal cat in there. It's kind of their mascot. And they're just a fun band, and to see them in person, fabulous. And that's what I want to emphasize, is seeing these bands on Prairie Musicians, on Prairie Public, it is fabulous, and thank you for supporting the show and the series and all that we do. But supporting the bands in person, as they travel around the state, if you live near them, seeing them in person is another fabulous way to support local music.
Forever good reason, we're all out on the weekend, yeah.
Mooncats on this preview of Prairie Musicians. Well, next up, Barb, a Minnesota singer-songwriter who proves if a career in sports is ever derailed by an injury, hey, just pick up a guitar. And that's what she did, cutting her teeth around Mankato, Minnesota, where she went to school. Tell us more about Emma Josephine.
So Emma Josephine is the sweetest girl. Born and bred in Minnesota, in Ham Lake. Like you said, went to college in Mankato. And she is so incredibly talented and has such a bright future. I remember when I kind of cold called her.
You did not. I did.
I think she was very surprised. And therefore, she sent several emails asking me many, many questions. You know, so conscientious. I'm sure the perfect student in college. But she came to the recording session with her parents. Fun fact, her dad has been watching Prairie Musicians for years.
Oh, wow. So maybe this was aspirational. Like he passed that sort of on to his daughter to try and get on the show. Like, here's what you can do.
He was stunned when she was invited to be on the show. He was so incredibly happy. He watched it for many, many years and had enjoyed many of the musicians and groups that he had seen on the series. And so they were just enthralled whenever she was invited to be on the series. She writes about nostalgic growing up life in Minnesota, what it's like to go away to college, what it's like to not be home, what it's like to go back home. And fun fact, I have a daughter at UND, and like I think during her interview and some of her song lyrics, I was almost tearing up. And so I just really enjoyed her being on the program. And she has a bright future. Her music's on Apple Music and can be found everywhere. And yeah, a great person to work with.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Emma Josephine and the song you were referring to, Barb, and maybe a little intro to it. Here's Emma.
My song Telephone Calls, I wrote about leaving home for the first time and coming back to see that everything was way different than when I left it. It sparked because I have a parking spot at my parents' house right next to the driveway, and I had worn the grass right down to dirt. And one day I came home from college and saw that they had started regrowing the grass in my parking spot. And so Telephone Calls became a bit of a protest song for everything changing while I was away.
I drive home on a Friday. Hardly awake and the traffic is bad. They cut down the tree by my driveway. The weeping willow looked a little too sad. Now they're growing grass where I used to park. They painted the kitchen walls, and I hate that the closest I've come to this place all year has been telephone calls. I'm getting lost on my own street, the one I used to run down with my bare feet. I've been gone for too long. I wish growing up didn't feel so wrong.
Well, that was Emma Josephine, recorded live for our new season of Prairie Musicians, which premieres tomorrow night at 9 Central with the band Mooncats. Emma Josephine will be on the next week, Thursday, March 26th. Now, you can view the whole schedule for the season at prairiepublic.org. My name's Eric Dethridge. I'm joined by Barb Gravel, our director of television, one of the architects of the series. Barb, we're now going to preview our third artist, and I think I might have heard you guys recording this band. I felt the bass and drums upstairs through the floorboards. He is Darren Quam and his band.
Darren Quam is amazing, and he brought a fabulous, talented group with him. They're from Battle Lake, Minnesota, so we're great to have our friends from Battle Lake all the time. We've had a few other bands in the past, but Darren Quam plays rock, blues, and folk music. And you're right, they were rockin', so that was fun. Darren travels a lot and to some southern places like Mexico and Costa Rica. So he has a tinge of reggae, right? A little bit to some of his music even. And so that can really get rocking. One of the things I wanted to mention about this season, and I feel Darren Quam kind of starts this theme. We have themes this year, I feel, a little bit stronger with kind of a nostalgic framing, even some self-care, mental wellness, and some storytelling strengths. And Darren definitely has brought to the table some wellness and self-care themes to his songs. For example, he has a song called Not So Bad, and one of the lyrics is, "Worst that can happen is not so bad." So I love that. Another song that Darren Quam performs is called A Friend. And one of the lyrics, or part of the lyrics, are feeling strange, feeling blue, I can help, what can I do?
Well, you say life is getting you down. Well, smiling things just bring you a frown. Well, you don't have to worry. You got a friend, right? Strange now, feeling blue. I can help. What can I do for you? Well, you don't have to worry. Cause you got a friend right here.
Hi, my name's Darren Quam. I'm from Battle Lake, Minnesota. I'm with the band Darren Quam and Friends. It really feels really special when someone connects with a piece of music that you've written. It really feels nice, like full circle, when someone recognizes a song and really feels connected to it.
Don't get lost in worldly things. Yeah, just listen to what your heart sings. Well, you don't have to worry. You got a friend.
So we go from a rockin' band to a solo artist, a singer-songwriter from Alexandria, Minnesota. Barbie, you were telling me that this gentleman plays a lot of wineries in the summer, which I could just picture in my mind, because it's always nice when you go to a winery for an event and you have just an excellent performer. It just kind of blends together with what you're doing there, you know?
Exactly. And Ben Stock is one of those. Like you said, he's from Alexandria, but he travels all around the region performing. He plays with a band, but he played solo for us, and he plays solo at a lot of the wineries around the region, especially Rolling Forks Vineyards. If you've ever been there in Glenwood, it's fabulous. You sit on top of this mountain or butte, and you have this vista of the rolling hills and the lake, and it's absolutely beautiful. And his lyrics, again, a lot of storytelling about family life, about growing up in Minnesota, a lot of nostalgia.
Let's hear a little bit of Ben Stock, maybe with a little glass of wine.
Hey, everybody. My name is Ben Stock. I'm from Alexandria, Minnesota. My musical style is very three-dimensional, and I tend to play pretty much all kinds of genres.
Walking toward the light inside your eyes, so bright, you know, I think I'm going blind. 'Cause this world's a long, dark tunnel, and there's no end in sight. But I'm walking toward the light inside your eyes.
So Light Inside Your Eyes was a song that I dreamed up, literally. I woke up in the morning after having a dream of Willie Nelson's voice singing this song.
I think I'd go and leave it all behind. Just walking toward the light inside your eyes. Inside your eyes, I can see a rainbow in the sky. Stars at night, they shine so bright. Oh, I'm counting constellations like Orion. The comets flying, and old stars dying.
A little bit of Ben Stock there for you as we preview Prairie Musicians. Ben will be on Thursday, April the 9th at 9 p.m. Central. We are speaking with Prairie Public Director of Television Barb Gravel about the new season of Prairie Musicians, which premieres tomorrow night. Barb, I always love bands with cool names. Like, you had Slam-a-Bama on last year. I sort of can't get that name out of my head. I find that one amusing. Here's another fun one. The Winter Sloths. I mean, who doesn't love sloths? I would love to be a sloth or reincarnated as one. But on the more serious side, touching on the theme that you mentioned has emerged this year, they do inject some lyrics about mental wellness into their songs.
The Winter Sloths are the best kept secret in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. They are a fabulous alternative rock band that will just amaze you and appreciate the fact that they are taking time to recognize self-care, mental wellness in their storytelling. Their vocals have clarity, and they suggest that they want to have fun, but they also, you know, want to be well. And I love that about this group.
Hi, we're the Winter Sloths from Fergus Falls, Minnesota. My name is Todd Biederman, and I'm the lead singer and lead guitarist of the band. The song Little Demon I wrote with my struggle with certain mental illness of ADHD and OCD that I've dealt with my whole life. I feel like writing songs about mental illness, it helps you view your mental illness as a strength rather than some kind of detrimental thing that's happening into your life.
Gonna hold on to this light, never let the darkness fade. Get out of my playground, this is not my fate. And we know there's absolutely nowhere to go. I'm used to doing things on my own. This time, I won't go.
And Barb, like you said, they're from Fergus Falls, Minnesota, so I imagine, as you say, they do play FM area gigs. One of them is coming up in May at the Windbreak, just as an example. But you know what? It brings me to this point. You can find out so much great information about all these bands at our website, prairiepublic.org. Just open the big banner that says Prairie Musicians. It's a well-tabulated and organized website. You get a little bio and picture of the band. You get links to their websites, learn about their stories, their Facebook pages, and find out where they're playing, you know, and go out and support these musicians. It looks very, very cool. You got to check it out at prairiepublic.org and support live music out there. So, hey, if you're just joining us, Barb Gravella is joining me to preview Prairie Musicians, the long-running TV series on Prairie Public in its 18th season.
Slipping through my fingers, those years are now souvenirs.
Hi, I'm Katie Tessman, and I'm performing with my son, Sweet Lou. We're playing songs that I've written over the past 4 years. And we live in Hopkins, Minnesota, but we travel all over the state. And really happy to be here in my college hometown. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 39. Lewis was 6 and Maxwell was 3. And I was really proud of myself with the words that I found to describe what was going to happen to me. It was really a challenging time, and Maxwell was 3 at the time of my diagnosis. I was really proud of the way that I found the words to let them know what was going to happen to Mama. And ending the battle with 2 boys that stayed optimistic was really inspiring. And now I'm writing music in acknowledging that life is not easy and we don't get through life unscathed. And I want to spread that joy and that optimism to my listeners, to people that need a little glimmer of hope. And hopefully they'll hear it in my music. Not very often do parents get to hang out with their kid when they become a young adult. And I am so thankful that Lewis wants to play music with me. It is just so heartwarming. And I'm sure you can see that my mama heart is just bursting with joy, hearing all of the beautiful notes that he adds to my songs.
Time flies when you hold on tight to the blessings in your life. Embrace the joy, let it unfold.
Katie Tesman and Sweet Lou were an amazing addition to this year's lineup. Sweet Lou, and I have a note here, oh my goodness, the most intricate advanced guitar work that I feel the series has seen.
Great.
This year we have had some amazing guitarists, but certainly Sweet Lou was fabulous. And, you know, paired together with his mother, they just made a fabulous duo. When she was young, she was a young breast cancer survivor. And so she was on that journey. She has dedicated her music and actually her life to helping people find strength and courage and optimism. She's also an author of children's books that help families and children kind of explain and accept diagnosis of different types. And so this is an amazing way for her to dedicate her life
to slow it down and drink in your affection. In this world of come and go, we have found our own treasure.
Yeah, wonderful, lovely music from Katie Tesman and her son, Sweet Lou. We are chatting with Barb Gravel, director of TV here at Prairie Public. Barb, one final performer of the season is one that our expert musicologist, Mike Olson, pulled me aside the other day and he said, oh man, Alma Cook, she is terrific.
Watch me stick a hand up, say please take me higher and higher. But there's nothing like how it feels when I'm starting a fire.
Like, she's like a classically trained singer, has an incredible range, kind of has this bluesy, jazzy, lilting style. When I heard her, she reminded me of Natalie Press. She is from the western part of North Dakota. Tell us her story.
Well, Alma Cook is a fascinating musician and a person with a large sense of community and bringing people into the music world. And I love that about her. I love that about the city of Williston and Western North Dakota, that they have her there. So Alma Cook grew up in Wisconsin, went to school in Chicago, lived in California. She's traveled all of her life, but she loves Williston. She actually works in the oil industry full time, but music is such a big part of her life. She has done so much work with the Williston Music Intensive, which is a band community that she's building out there. And it works with young people and elevates their experience in music. There's a song that she performs, 5,000 Candles. It's a little bit about the industry that she works in.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. Some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night we make a toast to you like isn't it nice. Somebody had the presence of mind to speak over you, let there be light.
My name is Alma Cook. A town like Williston has some really unique advantages and some really unique challenges, being a boom town that was the second fastest growing county from 2010 to 2020. With that kind of immense growth, you have a lot of money in the community and resources to do a lot of things, but there isn't a lot of infrastructure that you can hook projects onto. So the quality of life of the young and old people alike can sometimes suffer because they just get lost in the shuffle of all the rest of the commercial growth of the town around them. It's been really important to me to provide cultural enrichment for Williston.
5,000 candles burning bright, all the light you could handle. 5,000 candles here at night. 5,000 candles.
5,000 candles, Alma Cook.
We do feel so fortunate to be able to share this music, share the talent, meet the talent, work with them. And we're so thankful to do it with the help of some of the funders, of course, the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant and the North Dakota Council on the Arts. But we also appreciate the support of viewers and listeners, as we always do, because that funding also contributes to the production of these projects, which is, of course, not cheap, but so important to keep within our state.
I'm so glad we do it. We're very, very proud of it. Prairie Music premieres tomorrow night, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, on the television service with Mooncats kicking it off. Barb, it's always a thrill to talk about what you got going on with Prairie Musicians each year. Thanks for stopping by Main Street.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the shows.
That was program manager Eric Dethridge talking with Prairie Public Director of Television Barb Gravel about another season of Prairie Musicians. We hope you can catch the premiere episode tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on the television service of Prairie Public. Still to come on today's Main Street, the booming popularity of tinned fish. That's on Prairie Plates right after this.
Welcome to another edition of Prairie Plates here on Main Street. I'm Rick Yeon. Today we're going to talk about a unique food trend with a friend from Luna Market in Brujala here in Fargo, Sage Bombach. He's the cheesemonger, and he helps manage the Luna Market cheese counter, which also has a lot of charcuterie and tin fish, pasta sauces, olive oils, other sauces, a bunch of other stuff. Sage, welcome to Prairie Plates.
Rick, thank you so much for having me. I get the pleasure of being able to talk to you all of the time, so to be able to answer some of the questions we talk about on the daily and share the knowledge you and I both have is going to be so fun.
Well, let's get into the meat of it here, because tin fish has really become a food trend. I think there are health benefits to it. I have 5 boxes here. Some of them you offer, some I picked up at Natural Grocers and Tochi Products, but you offer quite a few brands, varieties, and flavors. So talk a little bit about the brands you offer first.
We do tend to seek out brands that are both like kind of in the spotlight right now with the trend, as well as things that are a little bit lesser seen. We also tend to stick with brands and products that fit in with our menu at Moongata. which is the attached Ron Seafood Bar that is connected to Luna Market. We have a lot of options from Matisse, which is a brand from Barcelona, Island Creek, which is a domestic brand. We get a lot of our oysters from them as well. Fishwife, everyone loves to see Fishwife. They're beautiful packages. They're having such a wonderful moment right now. And then one that is a little bit newer to our selection is Fonks. Those are Danish tinned fish, and we came to love that brand so much that it found a place on our menu because we serve our tinned fish as well.
Well, I just so happen to have a box from Island Creek here, and I wish this was a video podcast, but so you could see it all. But these are razor clams in olive oil, garlic, and chili, and then one from Fishwife, which is smoked rainbow trout, which I think is delicious. I have yet to try the razor clams, but Island Creek also has, I think, octopus and a few other unique flavors, right?
Island Creek is a brand that we're so lucky to have and be able to work with because not only are we able to source some of our fresh goods from them, they have a very unique variety of tinned fish. The flavors that Island Creek has are definitely a little bit more unique than some of our other brands of tinned fish. I think they realize that being a little bit less traditional, they are also able to be a little bit more out there. The octopus you mentioned, Rick, is also fun because it is in a garlic and chili oil, which is not necessarily something that you see all of those together. We've got octopus, we've got garlic, we've got chili, we've got the fun packaging. They really have, I think, everything to offer that tinned fish really could. The razor clams we have here, which I am a big fan of razor clams in tinned fish format. I'm glad they're popular that way. I don't know if you've ever seen or touched a live razor clam, but it is a little bit more of an intense experience for sure.
They're kind of long and thin.
And they also will come out of their shell if you poke them, which if you're not ready for it is a little bit of a surprise. Not that they don't taste delicious and buttery, but they are kind of a jump scare clam. Beyond that, the scallops from tinned fish and the Vieira sauce are my personal favorite. I think the Island Creek does such a good job with having not just flavored oils, but flavored sauces to really bring out the flavor of the fish.
And one of the Fishwife varieties that I really enjoy is the smoked salmon and chili crisp. And I do need to pick up the smoked rainbow trout in chimichurri. And I haven't been able to find that in town yet, so I may have to order it unless you order it in. But in case folks don't know what we're talking about with tinned fish, it encompasses sardines, mackerel, smoked oysters, smoked mussels, smoked trout, the razor clams that we've mentioned, the octopus. There are a lot of different tinned fish varieties, and it's just a really fun hobby. I have about a stack of foot tall to try at my place. I've really made an investment. Somebody sent me a list of them that a podcaster did, and they tried 800 or so. I think it's just become something fun, not only a food trend, but something fun. But Sage, how would you eat these? Some people like a cracker, a piece of baguette. I kind of like them straight out of a can. I've seen people doing things on Instagram where they decant the tin and they would pour it out on a plate. And I've done that too, and just kind of mess around with it a little bit. Or cooked applications on top of avocado toast, or roasted with some roasted tomato and garlic and then put it on a slice of baguette. I mean, it's a variety of applications, right?
There are so many different applications to it. And I think that is part of the appeal and the fun of tinned fish, why it's becoming popular. Some people just want to try something new in general. They see a lot of people are enjoying it. They love to ask questions. Some people, like myself, are having fun with it, expanding their palate because there's just so many different things to try. For me personally, I really like just doing it with crackers, with a baguette or crostini, with some lemon, some hot sauce. You really can enjoy them anyway as well. I also like to leave them just hanging out in the tin. It's how we plate them at Mungata as well, but you certainly can decant them. People will use like a paper towel or similar things to take a little bit of the oil off before they use it for cooking, before they plate it. I personally tend to use it as a pairing experience. If I'm doing something a little bit fancier for lunch, I tend to really try to play with different, like, similar or contrasting pairings. The fattier fish tend to get along with more intense wine and cheese. That's how I like to play with them. It's funny that you mentioned the Fishwife Fly By Jing collaboration as well, because that's actually the very first fish, not only that I got to try in general, but that I got to try pairings with. Salmon is a little bit unique in the world of tinned fish because it is a little bit more fatty, more flavorful in some ways, and so you want something like a blue cheese to help balance that out. My first time ever trying tinned fish was actually with Rogue Smoky blue cheese. You can certainly try it with anything, but I do think that taking the kind of fish into mind is definitely going to impact your pairing experience and what you might enjoy with it.
And I was going to say, I like them with punchier cheeses, like you're saying, blue cheese. And the Rogue Smoky blue is one of my favorite blue cheeses. It is just absolutely delicious. But I do like them with aged Goudas. I like the Crystals or aged cheddars or the Fusion Cheddar Red Rock, which is really good too. It's just kind of an umami bomb, in my opinion. And I think there are health benefits too that you hear about, brain food, good for your joints, that sort of thing. A lot of these higher quality products are packed in olive oil, higher quality oils paired with garlic, that sort of thing, spicy peppers, things that you could consider being healthy. And I think that's a big thing these days. People are switching their diets. And I just think that's a good thing. And having some tinned fish every once in a while, I think a dietitian would probably recommend not eating, you know, 3 boxes a day of tinned fish. But, you know, once in a while, once or twice a week is good for you, right?
I would say definitely yes. A lot of the origins of tinned fish before they became a big trend, they were a pretty typical snack in Europe. Spain, Portugal is where you can find an awful lot of it. It plays into the Mediterranean diet, which many people think of as one of the healthiest diets, lifestyles that you can partake in because of the amount of nutrients you can get out of sometimes a lesser amount of food. As you were saying, they tend to be tinned in some pretty high quality olive oil. Beyond that, I tend to think of more old world or just traditional European health trends regarding fat or oil in general. I think of, as kind of a similar example, pork lard, how it's used to help pregnancy, things that are similar. So using fats, using oils, and using moderation are in ways dietary habits that have been set before us long before tinned fish started taking off. And I think people who already tend to eat a lot of fish are maybe a little bit more keyed into that and are mindful of that as they're purchasing fish for themselves, fitting it more into meals that they would typically have.
And healthy oils and fats are obviously good for your joints, and people that are into fitness like me, I think it's just important to consume these sorts of products once in a while. We're talking with Sage Baumbach today from Luna Market about tinned fish. We're going to get into some other subjects here. I'd like to talk about Moongata, the other side of Luna Market in Bruhalla, a little bit, talk about what Luna Market offers. And then we're going to talk about a cheese rave, which happened last Friday, which was a fun event and I was a competitor in. But talk a little bit about your other side, Sage.
Beyond offering cheese, charcuterie, grocery for retail, we are able to offer a food menu that I think is pretty darn great. Our food menu is curated by Anthony Grady, who has been a part of since the very beginning, offering his expertise to curating that menu. And he, as just a real lover of food, successfully utilizes a lot of the cheese, a lot of the charcuterie that we have available right next to the restaurant. About a year ago, we started to include Luna Market as part of the restaurant operation of what we kind of call, as a nickname, the island, because it's that beautiful centerpiece to Bruhalla. We added sandwiches to the menu at Luna Market about a year ago as we expanded the operations of the kitchen that we get to share with Moon. We are able to utilize a lot of the product that we sell because we're very proud of it. We imagine people who buy it use it in similar styles of cooking at home. It was about a year ago now that we added those sandwiches to the menu to complement what we already had there with the seafood. It's definitely been very successful. It allows us to bring more attention to the cheese and charcuterie specifically, but also we get to play with more traditional deli things like a daily soup as well, have more fun showcasing our cheese with things like a rotating grilled cheese where we pick something fun we think people should try.
Yeah, the soup and sandwiches are quite good. And the sandwiches are made with homemade bread from Mandy Dolny, who we've had on in the past. And it's just a really fun place and a really good experience. Well, now we're going to switch to the Cheese Rave, which I was, I think, one of 10 competitors. I can't remember how many. I placed middle of the pack. I made some goat cheese stuff. Dates, prosciutto wrapped. I made your folks cut a lot of prosciutto, so thank you very much. With a little chocolate, hot honey, crushed pistachios, flake salt. I really, made him something. But I finished middle of the pack, feel good about that. The winner was Cows & Co. from Carrington, North Dakota. They just do a great job. Everything from the cow to the ice cream to the milk to the cream to the cheese. They do make cheese. But talk a little bit about this Cheese Rave event. There were music, vendors, competitors. You all were running around busier than heck. It was just a fun night, I thought.
Well, Rick, I will say it was a pleasure to cut your prosciutto. And if it makes you feel any better, it was probably the smallest quantity of things that I portioned for the Cheese Rave that day. It was a blast, though, start to finish portioning cheese, volunteering to set up, and then helping the whole thing get off. So Melted Fargo Cheese Rave is an event that we were so delighted to be able to put on with the help of the Drecker team as well. But the way it came to be is almost kind of funny. Cheese raves are something that I didn't know were really becoming a thing around the country. Ryan has been able to attend a few at different like food conferences, cheesemonger conferences, and I did not know that this was something that he was really hoping to get off the ground until in the middle of me just kind of being a goofball in the kitchen asking, like, have you seen cheese raves? Have you seen what's happening in bodegas these days? Would you ever go to a cheese rave? And those two dreams, those two trains of thoughts happened to converge at just the perfect time. And so what we planned on doing was making a much more dancey and engaging food expo. Given food expos are pretty fun already, if you're going there and you're just wanting to sample things, expand your palate, see if you want to try things again, see them where you're working, this is something that we wanted to be able to put on for the public, for people that don't work in the food industry, to be able to still party and have a good time, but be able to receive that experience that is maybe not as accessible otherwise, of being able to interact with all of these vendors, with all of these artisans, creameries, and be able to taste things they might not be able to find otherwise, encourage people to taste things that they know nothing about. It seems like people had a whole lot of fun, including yourself, Rick, which I'm sorry you were up against such tight competition with that perfect bite, which for anyone who doesn't know, we lent our kitchen in Brujala for people, about 10 chefs, foodies, to compete to see who could have the best one bite, the best tasting one bite. It was voted on. Rick, I love your prosciutto and purple haze. You know that purple haze is very, very dear cheese to me. It was also very fun to see that one of our Brujala residents, Connor from Cows & Co., was able to knock it out of the park with that as well.
Well, and that event did sell out, so Fargo does like their cheese. Sage Bombach from Luna Market in Brujala in North Fargo, thanks for coming in today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, Rick, we spend enough time together for you to know that I just love talking about cheese. And it is so refreshing and exciting to know how many people are interested in hearing about cheese because they've never been able to engage with it in this way. Tinned fish as well. I get probably as many questions about tinned fish as I do about cheese if they're shopping in the market as well, because it's so new to so many people. Being able to curate that experience with cheese and with tinned fish, you know, there was a point where actually a couple had written me a letter and handed it off at Brujala that was just like, thank you so much for helping us figure it out. We never would have tried these cheeses. We probably wouldn't have tried tinned fish at all if there were not someone to kind of shepherd us through that process. So being able to share all of the food especially in a fun way like a cheese rave, but just every day behind the counter is just such an honor to be able to do every single day.
Well, Sage, it's just great for me to talk to folks, other folks that are passionate about food and the local food scene. So thanks for coming in. This has been another edition of Prairie Plates here on Main Street. I'm Rick Guillen. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking for meaningful work in a place like no other? The Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library is taking shape in the iconic Badlands near Medora and are now taking applications for job openings. From behind-the-scenes support to visitor experience and more, this is a chance to help bring Roosevelt's story to life. Learn more about the mission, current job openings, and how to apply at trlibrary.com/careers and become part of the mission to preserve the legacy of Theodore Roosevelt in North Dakota.
This is Dakota Datebook for March 18th. Norval Baptie was born on this date in 1879. He's enshrined in Canada's Sports Hall of Fame and is in the Ice Skating Hall of Fame. His career influenced the entire sport. While he is embraced by the world ice skating community, he's not well known in his home state. Baptie was born in Canada, but his family soon moved to the town of Bathgate in the northeast corner of North Dakota. He took to ice skating at an early age, winning his first race at the age of 10. By 14, he was the North Dakota Speed Racing Champion. At 16, he defeated the National Amateur Speed Skating Champion. And in 1904, World Speed Skating Champion John Johnson agreed to race against Baptie. The North Dakotan won by a wide margin. Johnson later said that Baptie was so talented, he could skate in a washtub. As his reputation grew, Baptie had difficulty finding anyone who would race against him. He issued a challenge for a race in which his opponents skated in their normal style while he skated backwards. He won easily. Baptie shattered every speed skating record, but he stunned the skating world when he turned to fancy skating, today known as figure skating. He said, "Few activities add so much to the grace and build of a man or a woman as does fancy skating." Baptie met Gladys Lamb, a dancer in a nightclub, taught her to skate, and they paired up for exhibitions. After World War I, they skated in the first ice show, organized by Baptie. Through ice shows, he became famous for jumping over barrels and performing stunts like skating on stilts. Not one to forget his home state, he presented a show in Grand Forks in 1921. Norval Baptie left behind an extensive legacy. He designed skates, eliminating the curled ice skating blade. He remained active in skating even after he lost his legs due to diabetes. He turned to coaching. His children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren went on to excel as Olympic and professional skaters in both speed skating and figure skating. Norval Baptie died in 1966 and is buried in the Bathgate Cemetery. Today's Dakota Datebook is written by Carol Butcher. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
When you hear arts programming here on Prairie Public, know that it is supported in part by the North Dakota Council on the Arts, and we thank them.
President Trump's choice to lead the Department of Homeland Security would like the agency to get a little less attention.
My goal in 6 months is that we're not in the lead story every single day.
How might Mark Wayne Mullen lead immigration efforts? On the next morning edition from NPR News.
Starting at 4 a.m. Central, right here on Prairie Public.
The Minot Symphony Orchestra will present Ode to Joy on Saturday, March 21st at 7 p.m. as part of their centennial season. The performance includes the MSU Honor Soloist, the world premiere of the new Minot Anthem, and Beethoven's Ninth Symphony featuring over 200 area choir members as well as MSU alumni guest artists. Tickets are available at MinotSymphony.com or by calling the box office at 701-858-4228.
And that wraps up this Wednesday's Main Street here on Prairie Public. We are deeply grateful that you've spent time with us. Tomorrow on the show, property tax relief pressures, costs rise, and cap squeeze locals. That'll be the topic in this week's A Closer Look with the Monitor. And in our weekly segment, Tech with Peck, wearing the future, from smart watches and fitness trackers to smart rings and AI-powered glasses like Meta's Ray-Ban. That's ahead tomorrow on Main Street, and we look forward to your joining us again.